Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear it. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. A simple request made by a couple of Greeks who wanted to speak with Jesus. We heard it at the very beginning of our service. And so Philip tells Andrew, then Andrew and Philip together go to Jesus. I'm assuming that Philip didn't want to talk to Jesus, or maybe he was afraid to talk to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe there was some kind of informal bureaucracy, and Andrew was like Jesus' chief of staff, and all requests should be channeled through him. Or maybe they were just shy. You talk to him. No, you go talk to him. No, I'm not talking to him. It's your turn. You got to go talk to him. At any rate, Philip and Andrew convey this message, and then Jesus launches into a monologue that has nothing to do with the matter at hand. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. He doesn't say yes or no to his disciples. He doesn't say that he's too busy or not now. Seemingly, completely out of context, he says, now is the Son of Man to be glorified. And he goes on to talk about a grain of wheat needing to die before it lives again in another way, about losing one's life in order to gain it, about being shaken in his innermost depths to the extent of asking his Father to save him from an impending ordeal, namely his death. Maybe we caught Jesus at a bad time. Or maybe we caught John, the author of the Gospel, trying to create a complete picture in just a few words. You know, when you get one of those old postcards of Toronto, right, and it has like the CN Tower and the St. Lawrence Market and Queen's Park and Queen's Quay and the ROM and Dundas Square and a girl in a toque and a guy dancing the Pride Parade. Of course, you can't see all of those things all at once. You can't see them all at the same time. But if you really want to know Toronto, you need to see, you need to try, you need to experience these things. That's where you're going to see Toronto, in these things, the real Toronto, or so the postcard says. In that little passage, it's as if John has taken a little bit from Jesus' baptism, there's a voice like thunder, a little bit from the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will but yours, Father, the raising of Lazarus, this voice is not for my benefit but for yours, he said, a little bit of talking to the disciples, I can rebuild the temple in 3 days, remember that? It's kind of a postcard of Jesus sent by John saying, hey, wish you were here. If you want to see Jesus, you need to see these things. So, were they satisfied? The Greeks? Did they get to see Jesus? In the story, do we get to see him in the postcard? Because let's be honest, it's not always easy to see God, is it? God's not always obvious in our world. I mean, we want to see God, but we don't always get what we want. God is often deeply hidden. Hidden deep inside us. Hidden often in our world. I mean, the fact is God is no show-off, and we really wish that God was a show-off, don't we? Like, there are places that God could show up and I'd be so happy. People that God could deal with and I would be so thrilled. The God revealed to us in much of Scripture would seem to be a hidden God who dwells behind the scenes in deep darkness. I think it was Isaiah who said, truly, you are a God who hides himself. And when I pick up the paper, amen to that. I don't know about you, but I usually enjoy Saturday mornings. I get the Saturday Star, and I get the Globe and Mail, sometimes I get the Post, and I sit back, and I spend the whole morning reading all of the papers. It's just not as much fun lately as it used to be. Gun violence, racism, an alleged serial killer in Toronto, teaching staff on strike at York University, crowded city shelters. Doug Ford, if elected premier, is either going to save Ontario or completely destroy Ontario, depending on which editorial you choose to read. There is so much pain and misery in the paper these days that I begin to wonder, seriously, where is God? I mean, I have good days and I have bad days. Sometimes I can see God so easily, and then other times. And the Bible never actually pretends for a moment that God is easily known in a world like this. Like, we've shared the stories. Abraham has his mood swings. Job looks for God without much luck. And we wonder, too, as we read the paper, or as we struggle with the health of a loved one, or wonder about our own future, or just get bogged down in relationship problems. Like, simple things. A car that won't start in the morning, a wrong number in the middle of the night, a family falling out, a squabble with our neighbor. Why? Why do these things happen? Is there any point or purpose behind them? Are we alone in a cold, uncaring universe? Sir, we would like to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want help when I'm confronted with an insensitive world that seems to delight in hurting people. When our media seems fascinated by war and corruption, name-calling more than informing. I want to see Jesus when I meet a child whose life will be measured not by accomplishments and birthdays, but by tests and months. When I shudder in horror as I read reports of what's happening in Syria or in the gay village here in Toronto. Maybe God's fed up with us. Maybe God's just had enough. Right? We break commandments. We're part and parcel of a society that could do a lot more. Should do a lot more for the hungry, the sick, the elderly, the struggling, the hurting. The world is not always a friendly place, is it? And I know that I should be out there carrying a sign, making things better. But some days I just want to hide in my little house and say, oh, thank God, my job's not at risk. Thank heavens that isn't my child. Oh, thank God I don't live there. Is God angry at me? At us? For not being who we could be? For not living up to the covenant between us? Remember the words that we just heard from Jeannie? The words from Jeremiah this morning? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, there are those who believe that this is a prophecy about Jesus, a new covenant in Jesus. I don't think so. And it would take another sermon at least to explain it all. But simply put, if everything in the Hebrew Scriptures points to Jesus, then everything that God promises the Jews, that very relationship, is false, because it's all pointing to something later. And I don't buy that. I think that God loved humanity back then. I think God loves humanity right now. Loves us so much that the covenant has been written on our hearts. On our hearts. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that something? Written on our hearts. I mean, talk about personal. Imagine how intimate. God has written on our hearts. But surely then we've broken that covenant too. And God's given up on us. Well, if you believe that, then I think you've missed the point of the covenant. It's written on our hearts. Not on a piece of paper, not on a stone tablet. It cannot be thrown away. It's a new covenant. You get it? The people broke the old one, so God made a new one. Do you see? Even when we're unfaithful, even when we give up on God, God isn't unfaithful, and God doesn't give up on us. Because God is prepared to make new covenants. Even when we fail, God still honors the covenant and stays with us. God did not give up on us back then. God does not give up on us now. So, where is God? Well, maybe that little speech Jesus made wasn't out of context after all. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, he said. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will be my servants also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. And my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this reason that I've come to this hour. So, Father, glorify your name. The Greeks wanted to see Jesus. But did they really? We want to see Jesus, but do we really? I mean, we want to see the baby in Bethlehem, because it's great. We want to see the gentle shepherd. He's awesome. But that's not all there is to Jesus, right? This Jesus who presents himself to us, this Jesus who wants us to see, is a Jesus not only found in the stable, but also found in death. The death of a grain of wheat, the death of a man on the cross. This Jesus is troubled, and he's found where people are troubled and hurting, where people are losing their lives and feeling dread in their hearts, the kind of dread that makes you say, my God, why have you forsaken me? You want to see Jesus? Fine, but be ready, because it's not always a pretty postcard. You see, some folks seem to think the best way to see God is to watch a sunset, or marvel at a young person playing the piano, or watch kittens on YouTube. They seem to believe that seeing God means that there's no more pain, no more difficulty, no struggle, just smiles and delight. And that's great. I get it, but Jesus says otherwise. Yeah, the sunset, the piano, kittens work great. But don't turn your back on the hard times or the struggling times, because Jesus is there too. Sometimes, especially there. I remember the minister who confirmed me a long time ago, Edge Young. And he was beyond retirement back then. I remember two things about Edge in particular. I've shared them before. The first was when he asked me what I wanted to do with my future, what I wanted to be, I told him that I wanted to be a minister. And he almost fell off his chair. He laughed so hard. And the second thing I remember was about him telling me about losing his son. His son drowned. And he talked about how it brought him closer to God. And I remember at the age of 15 thinking, are you a crazy old man or what? Because if that ever happened to me, I would give up on God. That's it. It's all over between God and me. But not for Edge. It brought him closer. Do you want to see Jesus? In the midst of the darkness, we catch glimpses of glory as, well, like fireflies in the summer evening. Sometimes we can see God or feel God's presence in the simple little glimpses of grace. You know, like the phone rings and a voice says softly, I had you on my mind, thought I'd give you a call and see how you're doing. Oh, I'm fine, you say. And then you pause, they don't hang up, and you say, no, I'm not doing fine at all. Look, I really need to talk to somebody. You couldn't have called at a better time. Grace happens. And you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when things seem the darkest, suddenly it's as if a light has broken through with a sense of peace that you can't really put into words. But somehow you know deep down in the midst of all of this, no matter what, you're not alone. No matter what, you are loved. And yet other times it doesn't seem to happen. I sat beside a dear friend and watched him die. And it wasn't working for me like it had for Edge Young. I've looked all around for grace in vain sometimes, waiting for something wonderful to happen, make it all make sense, make it all worthwhile. But it didn't come. Hard to believe that old Edge had lied to me. But no nurse came into the room with good news. No sudden remission, no miracle cure, like no grace. And it's then that I remember that new covenant with God, it's written on my heart. I want to see Jesus. I want to see God. Sometimes it's time to look inside. When the outside's not providing answers, you got to look inside, into the hurt, in the struggle, because that's where God is. Sometimes quietly, sometimes comforting, sometimes telling you to let go, sometimes telling you to get up and help, sometimes telling you to be strong, sometimes telling you it's okay to cry, but always there. It's written on our hearts. See, people may break promises. God doesn't. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. It really is a matter of looking. Are we really, really looking? Sometimes looking out, sometimes looking in. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's easy. But God is there, sending these postcards. You know, in that same paper that depresses me, there are stories of young people in the U.S. rallying for new gun laws, demanding that their lives be valued and protected. Yeah, that's on the postcard. Eleanor the Magnificent, Anne's little one, she makes faces and she laughs at me. Even when I'm not having a great day, there she is, making faces at me. She is part of the postcard. 28 medals in the Paralympics. People just competing for the joy of their bodies and being in community. That's part of the postcard. Open my eyes, open my heart. I talked recently with a man who is aware of the nearness of his death, and he is embracing it with such grace and dignity that I am dumbstruck. That's part of the postcard. And I've talked with those who are not finding comfort and strength in their struggles, but have invited me to be with them. And that trust, that hope, that's part of the postcard. That's the signs. Like right here, we grieved and celebrated the life of a dear friend yesterday, and a whole community gathered to provide hospitality to friends and strangers alike, to provide support and comfort, as well as receive support and comfort. And it's not the only death that we've experienced in our community. Care and support continue for those who have lost and are grieving far beyond the day of a funeral. That's part of the postcard. Later this week, I'm going to visit with a family who want to have their child baptized. Postcard. Anne and I are going to do our first Jubilee home delivery event to share a meal and talk with people about what it means to live faithfully in the world. Postcard. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Then open your eyes, open your heart, read the newspaper, back pages as well as front pages, and then put the paper down and meet people and see Jesus, see God all around you. And until you get there, God will keep sending postcards saying, soon, you'll be here soon, because God never leaves us. God promised. It's literally written on our hearts. Thanks be to God. Loving God, help us not only open our hearts, but help us see our hearts. See our hearts for all that our hearts can do. Reach out and connect with people. Let us see our hearts and recognize the wounds and the hurts that make us who we are, but somehow we keep beating. Let us see our hearts and recognize your words written on them. That you belong to us, and we belong to you, and we can never truly be apart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.